Well, good morning. First of all, my name's Keith. I will be speaking to you this morning on the topic of baptism. And what a great morning we've had so far in seeing two people get baptized. What does that mean to get baptized? Well, it's a sign of the commitment that they have made to follow Jesus and to make Jesus their Lord. Now, we've been going through a series over the past few weeks on Genesis. And whilst this isn't directly part of that series, I do see today's message very much as following on from what Owen said last week. And if you weren't here to hear that, I would recommend you go onto the podcast and have a listen, because I thought it was excellent. Now, today we've seen a number of people getting baptized. First of all, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life and have not yet been baptized, then I want to say that we're still set up to do so, right? You can get baptized today. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I haven't got stuff to put on. What am I going to do? Well, don't worry about that. We can accommodate that. But if you haven't yet been baptized and you have made Jesus Lord, then today's your day, okay? We've got the Chesley Street, as already been mentioned, we've got the Chesley Street Church coming down later on, and they will be baptizing people. So there is plenty of time, plenty of opportunity, and I wouldn't want anyone to miss that opportunity to get baptized. It is an important step. You know, it's not just something we do, it's an important step. Okay? So if you're sitting there at the moment, you think, right, well, go on then, let's get on with it. Let's get baptized. Then I want you to grab one of the stewards. They're in black t-shirts. Grab one of them. They are around. And they'll come and get one of the elders, and one of the elders come and speak to you, and then we'll get on with it, you know? I'm happy to get in there. I've got spare clothes, so if you want to get baptized, let's do it. Let's not hang about. Okay. So what is baptism? And I'm going to read from Romans 6 to start with. Now, I've actually picked a translation called The Message. Now, basically, The Message is someone has taken the Bible and kind of put it into simple English, okay? So, what does it say? It says, so what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. And that's what baptism into the name of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father, so that we can see where we're going in a grace-sovereign country. Not a sin country, a grace country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. And then he brings God down to us. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks in a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. During this talk, I'm going to use the term saved. So if you're a visitor amongst us and you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, then, you know, don't worry. Saved is basically a term that Christians use to define when someone goes from death to life. Okay? Think of the most righteous person you can. You might be sitting there thinking of Mother Teresa or the Dalai Lama or someone like that. Well, they may have lived good lives, but they have still sinned, just like the rest of us. We have all sinned. What is sin? Well, sin is kind of doing things wrong. It's turning away from God. It's doing things your own way. Everyone has sinned. In fact, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God is perfect. God is holy. God is good. He is without sin. So how can someone holy, perfect, pure, how can someone like that, God, have anything to do with us if we're sinful, if we're dirty, if we're unclean? And there's a very nice analogy, obviously, as many of you know, I'm doing the AF course at the moment. There's a very nice picture in one of the videos where the guy doing the talk, he says, look, it's like there's a barrier. It's like there's a barrier between us and God, and that is our sin. It makes us unclean. It makes us dirty, whereas God is perfect. How can someone perfect have something to do with someone that is unclean without getting tainted? It's like a barrier between us. We're here, we're dirty, we're unclean. And this is very much what Owen was talking about last week. God is perfect. God is pure. God is holy. In our sin, we are dead, unable to respond to God. We're defiled, spiritually unclean. We're enslaved by sin. We're slaves to all passions and pleasures. We're blinded, unable to see the truth. We're under judgment because of the sin we have committed. And we're cut off, destined for an eternity separated from God. Cut off from God. But Jesus lived a sinless... Suddenly eldership seems a long way away. Jesus led a sinless life. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was perfect and holy. Yeah, he faced the temptations that we faced, but without sin. Consider what it means. If, like me, you do think that Jesus was the Son of God, and if, like me, you think that he never did anything wrong, then why was he killed? And Isaiah 53, which was written some 700 years before Jesus was even born, says this. It talks about his death. It talks about his resurrection. It talks about what would happen to Jesus. Right in the middle, it says this. It says, God took our sins and placed them on him. God took that which we had done. God took our sin and placed it upon Jesus. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, that sin was removed. And we now have access to the holy God. We're not separated from him like we once were. We now have access to a holy, a perfect, a pure, a wonderful God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we call this act. How do we do this? How do we go from there to there? Well, we call this making Jesus Lord. And it takes several steps. First of all, we repent. What's that mean? Well, it means that we say sorry for the things that we have done in our life. And we say we will not do them again. We confess. We speak out that Jesus is Lord. And we believe in our heart that he raised him from the dead. Now, you may be a visitor amongst us. You may have seen, you know, two people getting baptized and thinking, wow, that's an amazing thing, what they've done. You know, they've got up in front of all these people, and as a declaration that they believe in Jesus, they've got baptized. You have already heard from Lucy. Where are you, Lucy? There you are. We've already heard from Lucy about the tremendous things that God has done in her and Joe's life. Janet came up and shared a testimony. God is real. God is here. God is perfect, holy, and pure. And he wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've seen these guys, they've done that. I've heard from Lucy and heard from Janet, but I don't seem to know God. I don't seem to know him. I don't seem to know where he is and who he is. Well, that will be because of the barrier between you and him. But that barrier can be taken away. That barrier has been taken away if you repent, you confess that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he's raised him from the dead. That barrier separating you from God can be removed, and you can enter into a life-changing relationship with God, like many of, well, pretty much all of the people here have already experienced. So I want to invite you right now, this is not the end, I want to invite you right now, if you are in that position where you're saying, look, these guys seem to know God. These guys seem to have a relationship with God. They're prepared to do things that are unusual. They're standing there saying that God has impacted directly upon their life. If you are sitting there saying, well, I want to know that God, then I want to invite you right now to do that. Okay, so I'm going to ask everyone, just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you want to respond to that, and you want to give your life to Christ, and you want to repent, speak out that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he's raised him from the dead, and if you want to have a relationship with God, I want you to invite you to stick your hand up now, okay? I'm going to ask you to go to the back, and again, one of the elders will come down and pray with you. So I'm not going to drag this out. It's an opportunity, if you don't yet know the Lord, to meet him today and have that life-changing experience that we've seen through baptism and we've heard about through the testimonies. Okay, thank you. So, moving on to baptism. It's interesting, when you read the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of things point forward. There are a lot of stories in the Old Testament that point forward to what we see in Jesus and what we see in our own experience in our own lives. And baptism, in the same way, is kind of pointed to in the Old Testament. And I'm going to pick out two specifics. I'm going to talk about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And I'm going to talk about the Israelites then later on crossing the Jordan River. So let's start with the Red Sea, right? You may or may not have heard the story. If you've seen the film, The Prince of Egypt, you'll have seen some of it. If you've seen the Ten Commandments and Moses and all the rest of it, you'll know the story. But basically what happened is the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for many, many years. And God wanted to take them out of slavery and take them to the promised land, the land that he had said would be theirs forever. And so he sent Moses to go and get them. And there were plagues. And basically it came to a point where Pharaoh said to the Israelites, get out. Go away. So the Israelites left in victory. They left their point of slavery and they set out to the promised land. And then Pharaoh has a change of mind. Well, what am I going to do? All my slaves have gone. Who's going to clean the palace? Who's going to build the monuments and all the rest of it? So he sets out with the whole of his army after the Israelites. So I want you to imagine the scene, right? The Israelites, they're going out. They've had this victorious kind of opportunity where they've got out of Egypt and they're now standing at the banks of the Red Sea. In front of them is the sea. Behind them, they can see the dust from the chariots as the chariots are racing towards them. If they turn back, they'll be captured and taken into slavery again. If they turn to the left or the right, they will be captured and taken into slavery again. The only way for them to go is forward, and there's the sea. And God says to Moses, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and the waters were divided on either side. And the people passed through the sea and came out the other side. So how does that point to baptism? In many respects, before we were baptized, we were slaves to sin. Just like the Israelites, if they hadn't have walked through the sea, they were slaves and they would be again. In baptism, we are free. In baptism, through what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are free. And the Israelites, when they came out the other side of the sea, they were free. The Israelite army was destroyed. Sorry, the Egyptian army was destroyed. The Israelites were free to go on to the promised land. And that's very true in our baptism. We've gone from slavery into freedom. And so they carry on. Now they make mistakes along the way, and it takes them quite a long time to get to the Jordan River. But the Jordan River signifies the boundary of the promised land. And it's no longer Moses, because he's died, and it's his second, Joshua. And Joshua leads the people to the banks of the Jordan River. And in exactly the same way, the river divides, and it piles up a few miles down the road. And the people walk through on dry ground. The people walk through on dry ground. So what's the significance of that? Well, in this instance, the people of Israel were passing from being a people without a home to call their own into the promised land, the land that God had promised them. In our baptism, we pass into the promised land, the land that Jesus has prepared for us, where we can live with him, in relationship with him, in perfect unity with him. It's nice that it's Adoption Sunday today. And as Claire mentioned, we're all part of an adoption story if we have given our lives to Christ, if we have been saved. Because we have been taken into God's family. And the baptism is that kind of declaration of that as we move into the promised land for our lives. And that land prepared by Jesus. Now, I understand that these two stories could raise a question. That question being, am I saved only once I've been baptized? And I'm going to come on to this in a minute. Suffice to say, though, that baptism is reflecting in the natural, through the public declaration, what has already taken place in the spiritual, when we repent, when we speak out that Jesus is Lord, and when we believe in our heart that he's been raised from the dead. So the baptism is that public declaration of what has taken place in the spiritual already. In crossing the Jordan, the people of Israel were making a clear declaration to the nations out there that they were the Lord's and that they were moving into the promised land and that the Lord was with them. Let's face it, you know, if you're one of the people in the land and you're looking, it's not just an army that's coming, but it's an army whose God is so powerful that he stops the river to let them through. In baptism, we are making a public declaration that we are the Lord's, that we're his 100%. And I love that in Rosie's testimony where she said right at the end, she said, and I'm making that public declaration. Okay? That's what her baptism was. It was that public declaration that she is the Lord's. Now, there will be times in the future. Sorry, guys. I'll be honest with you. There'll be times in the future when you'll be challenged on that. There'll be times when it comes, you know, you're thinking, oh, what, you know. There'll be times when it's difficult, your walk with God. But you will always be able to remember today, the 6th of November, 2016, as being the day when you stood up in front of this community here and said, I am the Lord's, and he is mine. You will always be able to remember this day. So when the challenges come, when the difficulties come, when those times come that they come to all of us, where we're challenged on our faith, you can say, I'm not going to sway. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn my back on the Lord, because on the 6th of November, 2016, I stood with my friends and my family and I declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember today's date. As the people crossed the Jordan River, they took stones from the riverbed and put them on the bank of the river as a marker of what the Lord has done. Some call this an Ebenezer. The stone pile was there to remind the people of the faithfulness of the Lord, that they had committed to love and serve him. And so it is today with your baptism. Remember today. Have a prompt in your mind. Have that mental version of the stone Ebenezer in your mind. Today is an important day for you. But I had never noticed in that story that there was a second pile built. Now, I must have read that story loads of times. I've just never seen it. And it says in Joshua 4, 9 and 10, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they're there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the middle of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people. So there were two built, one on the bank as a reminder, and one right in the middle of the river that when the waters came crashing back over again would have covered. So what's the story there? Well, I believe that it's a sign of what is left behind as we go through that baptism. In baptism, the old life has gone. The old life has gone. That tie to sin has gone. And it's been left behind and washed away by the river. And so it is, as we see in that story. Something was left behind. They left a little monument. But something was left behind. And it's true with your baptism today. Your old life has been left behind. You are embarking on a new life. And if you've been a Christian for donkey's years and you're facing challenges, just remember, the old has gone, the new has come. That wasn't all those years ago, but that is true for today as well. You're on a new life with Christ. When we talk about baptism, we're talking about the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or dip under. Now, I want to be clear, we're not talking about a sprinkle, a spray, or even a squirt. We're talking about submerging in the water. Now, I was talking to Alan about this, and we were talking about if you had a white cloth and some red dye. If you want to dye that cloth, you don't kind of flick the dye at it. That's not going to work. It's going to leave patches. You submerge it in the dye. And Alan said, oh, good opportunity for a practical demonstration, yeah? And that got me thinking, because, you know, I can be a bit naughty at times, believe it or not. And that got me thinking to, we could put some blue dye in there. Stephen won't know because it's got a blue liner, right? And then I'll come along and I'll put this white cloth in and it will come out blue. Fantastic. And I remembered that, you know, Joe's coming from Chesley Street later on to get baptised. And I didn't want to cause loads of confusion theologically by saying, you know, you go in tied to sin and death and you come out a smurf. When we are baptized, we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When the cloth goes into the dye, it takes on the properties of that dye. When we're baptized into Christ in our baptism in water, we take on the properties and the characteristics of Christ. We are transformed into a new being, a new creature. We're transformed into his son. God's sons. And will that change be instant? You know, when the guys who've been baptized today, when they get home, will they suddenly become like Jesus and walk on the water and all that? But no, it takes time. We are justified by faith. That means that we are made perfect in the sight of God. Our sins are removed. Sanctification, which means the process of becoming like Christ, and that takes a little bit of time. I have been justified by what Jesus did on the cross. Believe it or not, I'm still being sanctified. That process is still ongoing. I'm not there yet. People often raise questions about baptism. So what about the person who confesses and believes and yet doesn't get baptized? Are they saved? Are they going to be going to heaven to be with Jesus for eternity? It's very simple. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, there was a guy next to him. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The Romans didn't get the chance to take him down, stick him in the water, baptize him, put him back up again. And yet he was saved. So the guy was saved, he didn't get the chance to be baptized. So does that mean it doesn't matter? Well, no, because Jesus told us to get baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. For me, when you confess that Jesus is Lord, when you believe in your heart, when you repent, you are saved. Baptism is that public declaration. What I'm more concerned about, though, is not the person who becomes a Christian at their last point in life and they don't get the chance to get baptized. It's those people who may well have made a decision already and are choosing not to be baptized? That, for me, is the concern. Yeah, so, if, you know, and I don't want to be unsympathetic. There might be people here who had a childhood trauma who mean, you know, they have a fear of going under the water. Or there might be people who are unbearably shy and they don't want to be the center of attention. But nonetheless, the Bible is clear. Repent and be baptized. So don't not get baptized because of fear. Don't not get baptized. Do it. Do it today. We have the opportunity today. Like I say, my concern is if you say, I don't want to get baptized. Because, and I don't want to be unsympathetic or uncaring, but in making Jesus Lord, in confessing that he is Lord, we're giving everything to him. We are giving all of our life, all of our hang-ups, all of our issues, all of our concerns. We're giving it all to him. So how can we do that and then hang on to something and say, no, Lord, I'm not doing that. So if you've not been baptized, then get baptized. It is a command in the Bible. Get baptized. Question number two, what about the person who makes a confession of faith in Jesus, surrenders their life to him early on in life, very much like Rosie said this morning, and then gets baptized later in life? We're saved when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. Baptism is that public declaration of this confession. So Rosie was saved early on. And today we have celebrated with her that public declaration of that confession. Yeah? So she was saved before. We've had the chance to celebrate with her that public declaration. But again, if you've not yet been baptized, and you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you have repented of your sins, turned from them, promising not to do them again before God, get baptized. You don't have to wait. The Ethiopian, there's a story in the New Testament of an Ethiopian. He was in a chariot, he was reading, he had the words explained to him, and he said, why can I not get baptized now? And so he stopped his chariot, he got out, got baptized, and then he went on his way, kind of celebrating, rejoicing. If you've not been baptized, get baptized. Question three. I was christened as a baby. Does that not count? Simply put, no. The New Testament shows us that a person repents of their sins, they confess with their mouth, and they believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord, and are then baptized. Doesn't come the other way around. As I mentioned, there's various stories in the New Testament. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. In the Bible, baptism comes after that confession. The people repented, and then they were baptized. Not the other way around. So I'm sorry, if you were christened as a baby and are sitting there thinking, well, I've been done. No, you haven't. Right? You just got wet. I don't want to be, again, I don't want to be rude, but you haven't. Right? In the Bible, it is clear. You repent, believe, get baptized. Okay? Not the other way around. So again, if you're sitting here, you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, and yet you haven't been baptized, although you were christened, get baptized. Okay? Don't let practicals, don't let confusion, don't let other things get in the way. Just get baptized. Okay? And one of the elders will speak to you about it. So in conclusion, if you have been struck by anything that I have said, or perhaps more importantly, the Holy Spirit may well be saying to you through what I've said, if you have been struck by the guys who got baptized, who their confession, their declaration, if you have been struck by the testimony of the people that came up, Lucy and Janet, if you have looked around this morning and you've seen all these people worshipping God, praising his name, and you're sitting there saying, I want a bit of that, then I cannot encourage you strongly enough. Don't wait. Get saved. Give your life to Jesus. And the elders or the ministry team will be more than happy to help you with that and to pray with you. If you have made that decision, get baptized. We can do the whole lot this morning, right? Yeah? Get baptized, okay? If you're a visitor here, you've been watching, you've been looking, and you think, They've got something that I've not got, but I don't know I don't know God. There is a barrier between you. That barrier can be taken away in Jesus if you only believe.